And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Israel began Tuesday to dismantle metal detectors it installed a week earlier at a contested Jerusalem shrine, hoping to defuse a crisis with the Muslim world, including security ally Jordan, the Muslim custodian of the holy site. The removal of the devices followed the resolution of a 24-hour diplomatic standoff with Jordan over a deadly shooting at the Israeli embassy in the kingdom, suggesting a broader deal had been struck. Israeli embassy staff, including the security guard who had killed two Jordanians after being attacked by one with a screwdriver, returned to Israel from their base in Jordan overnight. Jordan initially said the guard could not leave without an investigation, while Israel said he had diplomatic immunity. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Jordan's King Abdullah II spoke by phone late on Monday to discuss the crisis, including the tensions over the 37-acre sacred esplanade in Jerusalem's Old City. The walled compound is third holiest site of Islam and the holiest of Judaism, once home to biblical temples. The apparent deal came amid intensifying U.S. diplomatic efforts, with President Donald Trump's Mideast envoy Jason Greenblatt meeting with Netanyahu in Jerusalem on Monday. Israel had erected metal detectors at the gates of the Muslim-administered site early this month after Arab gunmen killed two Israeli police guards there. The move incensed the Muslim world amid allegations that Israel was trying to expand control over the site under the guise of security. The installation of the metal detectors set off mass prayer protests and deadly Israeli-Palestinian violence over the past week. Israel has denied it has a hidden agenda, portraying the metal detectors as a needed means to prevent attacks. Early Tuesday, Israeli security cabinet decided to replace the metal detectors with advanced technologies, reportedly cameras that can detect hidden objects. The cabinet said police would increase deployment until the new measures are in place. The statement said the changes would be implemented over a period of up to 6 months. Before dawn Tuesday, workers were seen dismantling one of the devices at the Old City's Lion's Gate, a recent flashpoint, and a scene of nightly mass prayer protests by Muslim worshippers. It was not clear if the compromise would be accepted by Muslim and Palestinian leaders, who had demanded a return to the security arrangements that were in place before the mid-July shooting attack. Mahmoud Alal, a senior official in Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah movement, said Tuesday that any changes to the previous arrangements are unacceptable. Israel is in occupying power and needs to take its hands from our holy sites, he told the Voice of Palestine radio station. It was not clear if Alal expressed the views of Abbas. The Palestinian president had announced last week that he was suspending all ties with Israel, including security coordination between his forces and Israeli troops in the West Bank, until the metal detectors are removed. As custodian, Jordan has the final say over Muslim policies at the shrine, but also needs to consider public opinion, including among Palestinians in the Holy Land. In his phone call with Netanyahu, Jordan's king expressed the need to remove the measures taken by Israeli side since the recent crisis broke out, and to agree on steps that would prevent another escalation in the future, Jordan's state news agency Petra said. The fate of the shrine is an emotional issue at the heart of the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. Israel captured the Old City compound along with other territories sought for a Palestinian state in the 1967 war. Under arrangements put in place then, Muslims administer the site and Jews can visit but not pray there. Israel's decision to remove the metal detectors came just after Israel and Jordan resolved their standoff over Sunday's shooting at the Israeli embassy in Jordan. Embassy staff was evacuated to Israel late Monday. Meanwhile, Jordan's public security directorate said it had concluded an investigation of the incident, portraying it as a verbal spat that turned violent. The security agency said the incident began when two Jordanians arrived at a residential building housing embassy staff to set up bedroom furniture. It said one of the Jordanians was the son of the owner of the furniture store, later identified as 17-year-old Mohammed Jawada. It said an argument erupted between the son of the owner and the embassy guard because of a delay in delivering the furniture. The argument took place in the presence of the landlord and a doorman, the agency said. The son of the owner attacked the Israeli diplomat and injured him, the statement said. It said the Israeli fired towards the teen, wounding him, and also struck the landlord, who was standing nearby. The two Jordanians died of their wounds at a hospital. The diplomatic standoff between Israel and Jordan over the deadly shooting at Israel's embassy in the kingdom once again tests the strategic, if turbulent, ties forged in a 1994 peace treaty. In the past, Israel was willing to pay a high price to protect the relationship, including releasing the Islamic militant leader from prison in a deal with Jordan. Jordan and Israel share a long border, various water and natural gas projects, and cooperate to stem Iran's growing influence and the spread of Islamic State militancy in the region. But the peace agreement remains deeply unpopular in the kingdom, where many citizens are of Palestinian origin and say normalization can only come after Israel reaches peace with the Palestinians. Perhaps the most serious crisis came in 1997 during Benjamin Netanyahu's first term as Israeli Prime Minister. At the time, agents of Israel's Mossad spy agency tried to assassinate then Hamas chief Khaled Meshaal in Amman. Two agents entered Jordan using fake Canadian passports and poisoned Meshaal as he was leaving the Hamas offices in the Jordanian capital by placing a device near his ear. They were captured shortly after the attack. Outraged by the violation of his sovereignty, Jordan's then King Hussein threatened to void the still fresh peace accord if Meshaal were to die. Israel ultimately dispatched an antidote that saved his life, and the Israeli agents were returned home. Under pressure, Israel agreed to release the spiritual leader of Hamas, Ahmed Yassin, from prison. Earlier in 1997, a Jordanian soldier opened fire at a group of Israeli schoolgirls on a field trip to a joint Israeli-Jordanian tourist resort along the border. A few days after the shooting, King Hussein travelled to Israel to comfort the families of the seven slain girls in what was seen at the time as a touching gesture to Israel that helped solidify his image as a man of peace. The soldier was released from prison early this year after serving 20 years. A major holy site in Jerusalem, known to Muslims as the Noble Sanctuary and to Jews as the Temple Mount, has been a frequent source of friction. Jordan serves as Muslim custodian of the 37-acre walled compound, the third holiest site of Islam. Jews revere the esplanade as a site of their destroyed biblical temples and the holiest site in their religion. Jordan's ruling Hashemite dynasty, said to trace its ancestry back to Prophet Muhammad, draws much of its legitimacy from the role of protector of the site, which houses the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa mosques. King Abdullah II has frequently protested Israeli measures, including restrictions on the access of Muslim worshippers and police raids of the compound to disperse Palestinian stone throwers. Israel has defended its policies as needed security precautions. In 2014, Jordan temporarily recalled its ambassador amid Jewish-Muslim tensions over prayer rites at the site. In a sign of the importance Israel places on its ties with Jordan, the Israeli government moved quickly to restore calm. The following year, clashes between Palestinians and Israeli security forces around the site quickly led to unrest elsewhere in Jerusalem, across Israel, and in the West Bank that have continued intermittently until now. Israel and Jordan share intelligence and have overlapping interests in southern Syria and elsewhere. Israel also considers Jordan an important land barrier on its eastern flank. The stability of the US ally kingdom is seen in Israel as a major security interest. Previous crises have shown that both sides are willing to make gestures to maintain the relations. In Australia, a plan to remove scripture classes from New South Wales public schools will be put forward at Labor's annual state conference by the party's left faction. All public schools in New South Wales have to provide at least 30 minutes a week for optional religious education classes. The students who opt out are not allowed to undertake any educational activities during that time. The proposal's backers are looking to emulate a move by the Victorian Labor government, which in 2015 removed scripture from the school curriculum, meaning the classes could only occur before or after school or at lunchtime. However, proponents have already encountered opposition from the party's internal committees, with the Education Committee recommending its rejection. A member of the Education Committee, Adam Schultz, who supported the removal of scripture classes, said it was reasonable to follow Victoria's lead. "We're pouring so much money into Gonski, why are we throwing away valuable class time? We're keen to see classroom time focused on the syllabus. If you held it outside class time, it would be a lot better for everyone," said Schultz, a Labour councillor for Lake Macquarie City Council. "We're not the first movers on this. Victoria has already gone down this path, and we should, in our view, follow suit." In NSW, scripture known as Special Religious Education, SRE, can be provided for no less than 30 minutes a week and no more for an hour, and it is held during ordinary class time. Schools can also provide secular ethics classes alongside scripture after they were introduced in 2011, but there is a shortage of qualified instructors. The students who opt out of both must read or undertake private study instead of regular classwork. Parents are also lobbying the Parents and Citizens Federation for changes to the rules governing what schools can do while scripture is being taught, according to the Sunday Telegraph. The NSW Labour Shadow Education Minister, Jihad Dib, said neither he nor the leader of the opposition, Luke Foley, have plans for the removal of scripture. It is a long-held position of NSW Labour that in recognition of the diversity of Australian society, we support parental choice in educating children about their faith, Dib said. Many policy suggestions are raised at conference, and as a party, our conferences have always been a robust forum to discuss a range of ideas. However, Darren Morgan, the NSW Director of Fairness in Religion in Schools, a group which opposes school scripture classes, called for the laws to change. Students in scripture have the power to stop the learning of all other students. It's ridiculous, he said. That learning time, which is given to volunteer teachers or paid representatives of religious organisations, should be returned to professional educators, and they can make up their mind how to fill that space. We are not against learning about religion in schools. It should be taught by trained Department of Education teachers. A 2015 review into SRE in government schools, which was completed in 2016, but only publicly released in April this year, found 75% of parents were dissatisfied with the kind of activities their children did, while others were in scripture or ethics class. The opinion of educators was mixed, with 71% of primary school principals satisfied with the alternatives provided, but the NSW Secondary Principals Council expressed serious concern that scripture was denying the opportunity for learning for others. The report eventually recommended that students should be allowed to continue regular classwork during scripture time. Critical principals quoted in the report said SRE made timetabling difficult and created logistical issues in schools where the majority of students opted out. SRE is the only area where the choices are made by some, often very few, prevents other students from exercising their normal rights to learning, said one. The Anglican Archbishop of Sydney, Glenn Davis, said Labour's policy should not change. Previous Labour governments, as well as the current Shadow Minister, have always been supportive of special religious education and the involvement of various faiths and cultures in the school community, he said. The recent independent report on SRE and ethics showed significant community satisfaction with the present system. I believe this support transcends political affiliation. Vatican authorities turned off some 100 fountains, including two Baroque masterpieces in St. Peter's Square, due to prolonged drought affecting the tiny city-state and the city of Rome which surrounds it. Suffocating summer heat has followed 2 years of lower-than-average rainfall in Rome, forcing the Italian capital to close drinking fountains and consider the prospect of water rationing. Vatican spokesman Greg Burke said it was the first time authorities in the spiritual home of the world's 1.2 billion Catholics could remember being forced to turn off the fountains. Standing in St. Peter's Square, where two fountains by 17th century sculptors Carlo Maderno and Gian Lorenzo Bernini stood dry, Burke said the Vatican wanted to help. This is the Vatican's way of living solidarity with Rome, trying to help Rome get through this crisis, he told Reuters TV. All 100 Vatican fountains will be turned off gradually over the coming days. Rome is gasping after 72% less rain than normal fell in July, according to Sky Italia's weather TV channel. There was 74% less than normal in June and a 56% reduction from the long-term average across March, April and May. Caring for the planet and its resources is an important issue for Pope Francis, who demanded swift action by world leaders in the first ever papal document dedicated to the environment. This decision is very much in line with the Pope's thinking on ecology. You can't waste, and sometimes you have to be willing to make a sacrifice, Burke said. And finally, a Swedish rail operator has vowed to name one of its trains Trainee McTrainface after a public vote, saying it would bring joy to the people disappointed when Britain rejected the name Boaty McBoatface for a polar research ship following a similar poll. Trainee McTrainface won 49% of the votes in the naming competition conducted online by train operator MTR Express and Swedish newspaper Metro, beating choices such as Hakan, Miriam and Poseidon. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.